Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, Andy, and welcome to Wellness Wednesday. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, your elder care all resources available for you. If you have any questions or needs as a senior in this community, if you need some direction, please give our company a call. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, 435-477-6999.
So the new year is well underway. Andy, how's it going for you?
Well, you know, aside from the occasional riot and stuff, everything's been pretty good.
Occasional riots.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good here, part.
But that whole thing in Washington, D.C. is very troubling. So
little crazy.
But thank goodness everything here at home is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
It seems to be doing well. Southern Utah's a really great place to be. You know, the weather. Now, if you live in Iron County, that was your choice also, and that's your weather. But
a little bit colder.
Yeah.
But brisk.
I think it was 17 there.
I know. That is cold. It's funny how close they are to us and the difference, the drop in temperatures. Freezing.
So this week we thought we'd revisit COVID good news. It's been a while since we've done that. And,
yeah, all right. We need some.
I think it's time. So I think the real big news is that in spite of all the bad news, right, new strain of the virus, questions about the vaccine, the threat of travel restrictions, and all of the things that have been going on, the fear of the massive increase in cases after the holidays, that was a big part of it. Here's the truth. According to the state of Utah, from their coronavirus tracking website, positive tests are going down.
Yeah.
We peaked the number of symptoms, and they track a whole bunch of things. So this is just one part of that. But peak of cases by symptom onset or diagnosis date was November 9th. And that, of course, was a Monday. And what we know about all the testing since the beginning of time for this, Monday is always the worst day because it's all the people who didn't get tested on Saturday and didn't get tested on Sunday and then went and got tested on Monday. But that was the peak. And at that point, there were 4,146 new cases on that day, while the seven-day rolling average was 2,952 cases. We don't want to get too deep into these numbers, but I think it's important for everybody to have this. That peak in Utah was, November 14th, really, for the average rolling day. The rolling day average peaked on November 14th. And since mid-November, not only are positive tests down, but so are hospitalizations and deaths. So here in Utah, everything's getting better, in spite of what we may imagine or believe or have been told. November 14th was before Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving was going to be one of those giant super spreaders. It was well before Christmas. Christmas was going to be one of those giant super spreaders. It was long before New Year's, one of those super spreaders. And none of that has actually come to fruition. Those have not been super spreaders. In fact, there were really no measurable case increases. The averages have been changing, and the per-day tests have been changing, but there's nothing significant about those days that would make that an issue. And that's, again, according to the State Department, the State of Utah Health's website. And if you remember all the media focus about, if you go out and see people, you're just going to kill them. You can't do that. In fact, on the news this morning, one of the senators or congressmen who was involved in that siege is now filing a suit against other members who weren't wearing masks. Somehow, because they didn't wear masks, she contracted COVID, even though I don't think any of them had COVID. Somehow this is spontaneously erupting again.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of ignore some of the news and just look at the facts and get that information.
Try and glean the truth from the hyperbole, the entertainment factors being presented in the news media.
It's mm-hmm. getting harder and harder to do that.
It is. Yeah. I've chosen really honestly just not to watch the news anymore. I find it terribly overwhelming and distressing. And so I get my information, go specifically to high quality resources, find what I need and move on.
So I think if we go through some of the numbers again, I think it'll be good. There are over 3 million tests that have been done in the state of Utah now. And we can say that 2.7 million of those tested negative. There were 310,000.
Wait, let me stop you for a second. Aren't there only 3 million people in Utah?
Well, that was the number of tests done.
You have to remember.
And yes, we have 3.1 million people in Utah. And
if you get tested twice, even if it's both times are positive, it counts as a test, which is why the numbers are off so much. I mean, you're right. If there's 3 million people and 3 million tests, then aren't we all tested?
No, I didn't get one.
No, I haven't been tested either. So it is important to kind of, I guess, ruminate on these numbers and really consider what the data is out there. All right, so of the over 3 million tests that have been done, 2.7 million of those came back negative. Okay, that leaves 310,000 roughly positive tests, 310,000. Of those 310,000 positive tests, only 12,000 of those coincided with a hospital visit. And I say it that way because they call it hospitalized, but they may not have been hospitalized for COVID. But when they were in the hospital, they were tested and tested positive. They were hospitalized for something else. So there may have been some people who specifically went to the hospital because of COVID, and there were others that went to the hospital for other reasons, and COVID was part of the numbers. So of the 310,000 people who were tested positive, only 1,200 of those had any hospital involvement. And then we look at what happens after that. Well, in the state of Utah, since the beginning, 1,422 deaths. Okay? Oh, 12,000 in the hospital.
Yeah, okay. Correction.
Yeah, 12,000.
He accidentally said 1,200. It's 12,000.
And it of that, then, 1,422 deaths that had some relationship to COVID. And I don't want to make that
light
too
of any death.
Yeah, not at all. But there's an expectation of over 17,000 deaths in Utah every year from all sources. And so
we're never going to get a vaccine for death. Yeah. We come to this earth through birth, and we leave this earth through death. That's just part of, you know, the process.
Right. So 1,422 people died of something, and they had a positive COVID test. And so I hope that as we go through these numbers and get people a little more comfortable, it's going to be easier to realize that we just need to get back to some
living.
Normalcy.
Let's live.
Yeah, let's live. Let's enjoy
happy.
Life.
Let's enjoy life. It's a beautiful life. It really is, if we can focus on those things that are good.
Yeah, we won't know the exact numbers for a couple of years as to whether or not the COVID virus actually increased the number of expected deaths per year. But that's, you know, we'll know that in a couple of years.
Future studies will reveal a lot, I'm sure.
So that was that's the good news. Let's get past that fear and move on. And that kind of leads us back into it's the new year.
Woohoo! Happy New Year!
Yeah, and we've gotten back into the groove. I guess, you know, our daily grinds are there. The kids are going back to school. You know, we're past all of the holiday hoopla.
College is back in session, although primarily still online. But our college students are back to school.
Yeah.
I would say, by the way, my daughter up at BYU, about half of her classes are online only. So we're getting there.
Really? Yeah. My daughter's at SUU. She's in her final semester pre-med. And she only has two lab classes that are face-to-face, actual physical classes.
Everything else is online. So she's not staying in Iron County, you know, to go to school. So, you know, she's living with us and just going to school there and commuting 3 days a week.
That's... Which, you know, this is a side note and I'm veering off the topic, but another sad consequence, I have another son that was due to start college. And without the, you know, Red Riot Week and the welcoming week, it just doesn't feel like college. And
weird.
I just feel that's such an important part of being saturated in the new college experience and really transitioning from high school to college. And how sad. I feel that so many kids might not make it through that first year just because they didn't have the complete saturation where they've met friends and people that they could identify with and enjoy the college experience with. How sad is that?
Yeah, just simple things like a pep rally or a basketball or football game or something like that. They can't do it.
Yeah,
right.
And that's what makes the college experience the college experience. Otherwise, you might as well just buy some books.
Especially that's for boys, and that's what I have. I have a son that's like, this is like high school.
It's all I like.
That's too bad.
So I think it's important for us to get past the fear. Let's remember that we should have a healthy respect for this virus. And what does that mean to have a healthy respect but not have fear? Well, let's take reasonable precautions. First and foremost, wash our hands often with soap and water for 20 seconds. That's really the primary benefit that we can get. If we can't use soap and water, then go ahead and use hand sanitizer. We should social distance when we can. And when we can't, we should wear a mask. If we do those things, then let's not let this impact the rest of our lives. Let's get out and do things, live our lives, like we were saying. Get out of the house. We mentioned this before, but it is important for us as human beings, as persons, to get out and be part of the world again, not just
social interaction. Not just, so, you know, important to our good health.
Yeah. Not just be stuck in our cave and fearing everything outside the door, because there really are great things out there. There's a party this weekend, right? The city's doing an event.
Well, they canceled the root beer float part of it, but you can still get into almost every city facility for free this weekend.
Nice.
So take advantage of that. Get out. Do something. Just move your focus away from just this fear. And I think you'll notice in the media that it's not all COVID all the time, because there's nothing new for us to talk about. Right. So the news has indicated that there's nothing new to worry about. So I think it's important that we do that. All right. So for the new year, while we've all talked about New Year's resolutions before the year starts, I think it's really best once we get back in our groove that we really start figuring out what it is that we can do and the important things that we could maybe make changes on that are going to have great impact without all of the, you know, hoopla from everybody else. And for us, we want to participate in that with you. We want to share. We want to help. And so we are doing the free in-home healthcare assessment by a qualified nurse.
For all of our seniors, remember something. You do not give up your right to continue to work with your doctor. In fact, our nurse will come out, do a complete clinical assessment for any of our seniors, 65 and older, head-to-toe assessment, and then cooperate with your doctor to make sure that any issues are attended to immediately. If you do not have a doctor, we do have a team of doctors on site that will evaluate the information and determine. I mean, we had a simple one this week where a person had a UTI and it was causing tremendous confusion. Their family believed that their dementia had increased exponentially, and actually it was as simple as a UTI. And having our nurse come out and do a full head-to-toe assessment, we were able to determine that it was a UTI, got her a prescription right away, and an appropriate prescription. And within 3 days, she was feeling better and kind of back to herself, or back to her normal self. So it was good.
And that's one of the reasons that we're doing this. Now, we've got multiple reasons why we're doing this. First and foremost,
our seniors need it.
Yeah, we really need it. But it's interesting that the way our bodies respond medically changes over time. When we're young, an infection almost always is a fever, pain, sickness, that kind of stuff, easy to indicate that it's probably an infection and to be dealt with. But as we get older and our seniors have infections, they don't always present the same way. And we may not recognize that as a caregiver. You may just assume, they're not themselves anymore. And
well, a really simple example would be, when we're little, we cut our legs, our feet on things as we're passing by, and we look down and notice we have this huge bruise or a cut and we don't even remember how we got it. If a senior does that, that can turn septic quite quickly. And those infections need to be dealt with quickly. And it's in a time where teleconference is the way for telehealth is the way for our doctor's visits. So much can accidentally be missed. You need the physical hand-on-hand assessment, and that's why we're offering it. We said that we came to improve the systems and the services in Southern Utah, and we are proving that to you by offering our seniors a free assessment, head-to-toe clinical assessment by a qualified, experienced nurse who will work with our doctors or your doctors to make sure that your care needs are met.
So, again, there are a number of reasons we're doing it. One, we want the community to be better served. This isn't a government program. Nobody's paying us. We're footing the bill for this because we think it's important. We want our health care to be better here. We want people to be better informed. We want them to be more involved in their own health care.
To realize that some conversations are really hard to for doctors to have.
Mm-hmm.
So you must ask the correct questions to get the information that's also important for you to make your decisions.
Right. So we're trying to give everybody the ability to be better informed. We have always advocated on being your own best medical advocate to try and get people to have those conversations with their doctor. If you have the knowledge, then when you have your conversation with the doctor, you can talk about more things. You don't have to worry about him trying to figure out how to explain your debility or your the problem you may have if you already know that up front. And it's interesting. We met with a gentleman who didn't know that he had congestive heart failure. Now, we don't know whether the doctor didn't tell him or whether the doctor just didn't tell him in a way that he understood or whether he just wasn't in a place in his life that he could have taken that information
to digest
in.
It and actually realize, you know, what he was hearing.
Right. So we had this conversation with him and gave him enough information that he could get a grasp and he could go talk to his doctor so that we can move this conversation forward instead of everybody being unaware.
So that he can make active decisions that are right for him. And mm-hmm. we are all individuals and we still live in a free country where we should never give up our free will. The only way we can act on our free will is if we understand the choices that are available for us to make.
Right. So many reasons for us to want to do this. And we've really enjoyed it and we've got a lot of positive feedback and we're getting calls from people scheduling, but we know that not everybody knows that we are offering this yet, and we want more people in the community to know it. So if you are hearing this radio broadcast, we want you to call our office and at least talk to us about it. See if it's something that would work for you, because in this day of, COVID and telehealth, where a doctor's, you know, going to talk to you on the phone or maybe use a video chat, there is so much information the doctor doesn't have. When we're looking at the possibility of care. When you went into your doctor before, you know, you'd get your blood pressure taken and your pulse ox and your heartbeat was counted and all those things. And that was data that the doctor could use because it was current and it would be used to chart against the future. If you're not getting that information to the doctor now, he can't use it. When you've gone to the doctor, did the doctor ever thump you on places on your body, you know, on your back or on your stomach? And you may not have known why. Well, it was gathering data. It's amazing what touch can do in an exam. By touching somebody's hand, you can find out if they are dehydrated.
By looking at their fingernails, you can tell if their heart is pumping appropriately.
Right. Yeah. If your hands are cold, that's an indicator. If you don't have as much blood flow to your feet, that's an indicator of something. And those things can't be done with a video camera.
And that brings up a good point. Sometimes as caregivers, we're seeing our loved ones every day. And kind of like if you remember back when you were raising children, you didn't realize how quickly your children were changing and how they went from 1 year to the next year, completely different people at the end of the year. But you'd see a friend that hadn't seen you in a while and say, oh my gosh, look at Johnny, he's changed so much, and you didn't recognize it. And that's what's happening with our seniors. We're kind of closed in these tight corners, and we're not recognizing the changes that are taking place. And it's becoming more and more evident as we continue to do these assessments how important it is. So I just want to say that this free service is one that you should share with everybody that you know, your neighbors, anyone in the community, 65 and older, should have a free clinical assessment being brought to you today. And in this future by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care with absolutely no obligation to you. We will work with your doctors to make sure that anything that arises, pops up, is addressed with your doctor. Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care can be reached on our website at pathwayhospicecare.com or by calling 435-477-6999.
And we answer that phone 24/7, so feel free to give it a call whenever you want. During the day would be convenient for us, but we will take those calls in the evenings and early in the morning if you need. Again, we just want to get to know our community. The better we know the people in our community, the more we're able to help, whether that's for us to provide help or for us to find services that can help people. If somebody's struggling to take care of their everyday living, then maybe we can come up with ways to help them. If there are financial issues, there are resources that can come up. And if nobody's talking, then nothing's getting done. So we really want to get out there and do that. And then the other part of it is we do want to introduce ourselves and what our goals and beliefs are about what healthcare can be to everybody that we can. And our elder community certainly deserves that knowledge. The more knowledge they have, the better.
And how palliative care is so different from company to company. Some companies have started using the word palliative care, but you should shop around. It is your choice. You should know what palliative care really can be.
And you can only have choices if you know that there are options. And that's really what this is all about, is providing options. Options in medical care itself. For instance, that UTI. There are a number of ways that can be treated if it's caught early, because you're seeing a medical professional often enough, somebody will notice it, or you can have a better understanding of the symptoms. It could be solved with maybe some cranberry juice, which is a pretty non-clinical way to solve it if it's caught early. If it's not, then we have to look at an antibiotic. But if we wait long enough, if we just believe that somehow that UTI or other type of infection wasn't an infection but was just a decline in somebody's cognitive ability, then we're looking at hospitalization with IV antibiotics or worse. So the better informed that we are, the more information we have, the better we can make decisions. And that's part of what we want to do.
For ourselves, the right decisions for each of us individually.
And we talk about hospice and palliative care, and a lot of people look at that as end of life and I'm not ready to be at the end of my life. Well, this medical assessment isn't about that.
It's about living the best quality of life for as long as you live.
Yeah. But we also want to introduce ourselves so that at some point you may need to have our services, and we want you to be fully informed so that you can be prepared to do that. And we just want to introduce ourselves and let you know where we're at and what we believe is a great service that many of our seniors have the right to, that may not get it if they don't advocate for themselves.
Right. We're educating the community what palliative care can be and offering these free services because we do want to improve our senior life experience, living again as long as you have.
So that most easy phone number to remember in Southern Utah, 477-6999. 477 on the left, 6999 on the right after you type in that local area code. We really look forward to hearing from you. You can give us a call in 1 minute. Our show's going to be up in 1 minute, and we'll answer the phones from that point forward. So if you're listening now, you can start dialing. We'll probably we'll probably pick it up.
Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care is your senior resource specialist for all things senior care. If you have any questions, you're looking for any direction, wondering if there are resources available for your specific needs, please give our office a call. If we don't have the answers, we'll at least look for them for you or help direct you in a path that you can find the answers to the questions you're looking for. Again, it's 435-477-6999, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, your senior care resource specialist. Richard.
I think that's the end of the show, but yes, we think we're pretty good people to talk to. So really,
just
give us a call.
Thanks, guys. Great show today.